to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am currently out of town. I am out of town right now. I'm out of town with my friend Heather. I'm out of town with my friend Kelsey. We're doing a bunch of shenanigans that you're going to hear about next week. But until then, I just wanted to bring you this very special episode, which I'm excited about. And also, sidebar, can you even believe Tiana's opens next week? Tiana's Bayou Adventure literally opens next week. I can't believe, I know like November seemed so far away for so long and now it's here. Now it's here, so almost at the end of the year. I can't believe it, but I can't believe Tiana's is going to be up and running for the holiday season at Disneyland. I'm so excited. I'm excited about that. I'm so excited about this episode. Are you kidding me? This has been on my gotta do it dream list for so long and I cannot wait to share it with you. So I won't waste any more of your time. And also I'm out of town, so I gotta go. Stick around. We have a wonderful episode of Very Amusing for you today and I can't wait for you to hear it. Okay, be right back. Bye. We are just a few weeks away from the end of the year, which means now is the time to start thinking about your 2025 travel. It is right around the corner, and there's no one better to help book your trip with ease than my friends over at MEI Travel. Because when you work with one of their travel experts, they will help make sure that you get the most out of your trip, ensuring you do more and save more money. They'll help you get those $50 kids tickets at Disneyland, maximize hotel discounts at Disneyland and Disney World, and oh yeah, they'll even help you plan for a little thing called Epic Universe, a brand new theme park filled with rides and shows and entertainment and never-before-seen everything, which opens in May. And best of all, they're going to do all of that for free. Yes, for free. MEI Travel is even so full of travel planning pros that they operate specialty divisions, the Disney earmarked and very official Mouse Fan Travel and Universal Fan Travel, both full of helpful vacation planners who know everything about visiting these parks. So don't delay. If you want to start taking a look at your next Disney or Universal vacation, save money, and work with an expert travel agent who will help you plan when to go, where to stay, and what to do in 2025 without costing you a penny, reach out now. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing for all your Disney needs. Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and of course, getting those sweet deals on Disney trips, like saving up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on nights through April at Walt Disney World. And if it's an Epic Universe vacation you're after, head to universalfantravel.com/amusing to get a free quote about visiting the biggest new theme park to land in Orlando in 25 years. 25 years! This is historic! You gotta be there! And Universal Fan Travel can make it happen. Once again, that's mousefantravel.com/amusing for all of your Disney needs and universalfantravel.com/amusing to get bragging rights that you made it to Epic Universe and its opening season. Happy planning!
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Welcome back. I am so excited to share this fun, delightfully fun interview with all of you because I promise, now that you are here, your day is about to get a whole lot better. I called this a Hidden Mickey episode, which is like kind of funny because Brett kind of is Mickey. He's the voice of Mickey Mouse. How on earth could he possibly be a hidden Mickey? We all know this dude is affiliated. But where do I even begin to talk about Brett's life story? I thought I knew so much about him, and no. The stuff I learned about Brett in this interview, his life feels like a biopic. I swear he is fascinating, and I hope you will be just as amazed by all of this as I was. Now, as you know, Brett Iwan is the voice of Mickey Mouse. But would you even believe that being the voice of Mickey Mouse is not his only job? And that he's also a professional artist? And did you know that being a professional artist is not even his only other side job? He's also a residential and interior designer. And did you know that's not only his only other side job? There's a really good one that's buried in this episode, and it blew me away. It's a surprise. I won't spoil it, but you will hear about it very, very soon. All I'm saying is that Brett is easily the most impressive, talented, coolest dude I've probably ever met in this line of work, and I am constantly amazed by him. This episode's basically like getting a coffee with your smartest, most talented friend who mostly just like casually drops little inspirational nuggets because, oh yeah, he also gives talks. This dude does it all. I may even call this an instant very amusing classic. And not just because you're going to hear about my favorite bespoke dessert treat, which I will say, Brett is also responsible for. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy this moment with the absolutely wonderful voice of Mickey Mouse and so much more, Brett Iwan. Brett, welcome to Very Amusing.
Hi, Carly. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Thank you for being here. This has been a podcast that I've wanted to do for a very long time. It feels weird that we haven't even done this yet.
Well, I know. I was thinking about that, too, because we've known each other for a while. I've followed you for so long on social media and been listening to your podcast. But I just kind of think of you as a friend. So I would never think to be like, hey, do you want me on your podcast?
But you know what I think it is? I think it's that I know that you use your voice for your job. So I'm like, I can't take away those precious talkie hours that you can be creating magical things.
I mean, that's an awareness that not many people have. So thank you for that. But luckily, I recorded yesterday and I've already messed up my voice today doing yard work. So I don't have to do Mickey the rest of the day. I think we're good. We're good to do
okay,
this.
Okay, we're fantastic. I mean, yeah. Listen, I'm not going to expect you to do this interview in Mickey voice. So you're fine.
Okay, good.
The fact that you can just whip that out is pure magic. But so you have been the voice of Mickey Mouse since, I looked it up, I believe it's 2009.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening who isn't familiar with your background and kind of how you got here, tell us how you wound up, I think if my math is correct, 16 years into the coolest gig in the universe.
Yeah, almost 16 years. So like 15 and a half. But it came about in the most random way. I, first of all, love Mickey, love Disney, love Walt Disney and his legacy. And I've been a fan of all of that since as long as I can remember. I always joke, but it's actually very true. I learned to draw by drawing Mickey Mouse. So I was just obsessed with old Disney cartoons and old Disney movies. And, I grew up in a household where my parents had grown up watching the original Disneyland and Wonderful World of Color and whatnot. So they shared all that with me. And one of my favorite things to do was actually watching the classic cartoons with my dad on VHS at the time, you know, and we would pause them and then draw the characters together. So that was kind of my intro into learning how to draw.
Whoa.
Learning to draw specifically like in the Disney style. But that set me on a path. I'm talking like 4 or 5 years old. I knew I wanted to work for Disney. And at the time, I wanted to be a Disney animator. Like, I just thought the traditional animation, that taking a drawing and bringing it to life was something that was so cool. So that was my focus. I remember being in elementary school and you'd have all those times people would be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, kids are changing their mind every week, right? Firefighter, surgeon, lawyer. My answer was always I wanted to be an artist. I knew that. So I graduated high school, went to art school. Right out of art school, got a job with Hallmark greeting cards, doing exactly what I wanted to do, illustrating professionally. Was there for 5 years, and it was an incredible career. But right around the five-year mark, I got this email from a friend of mine who went to school with me. She was then working and still is working at Pixar. And she got this email that was circulating throughout the Disney company. And it was outlining the audition process that was taking place to, become an understudy for the voice of Mickey Mouse. So Wayne Allwine was the third voice of Mickey, and he'd been doing it for around 32 years at that point. It was becoming a little harder for him to do it just because of some health issues. And they wanted to open the door up to a potential understudy. So my friend, knowing I was a huge Disney fan, and knowing that I did an impression, And I use that term loosely, like an impression. You know, we'd we went to Florida. We'd go to the park and we'd walk in and I'd say, oh, boy. And that was probably the extent of it, right? Like, I truthfully was not sure I could maintain the voice or say anything other than, oh, boy.
Right.
But, you know, she thought of me instantly. And when I got this, it was an email that said, do you want to be the voice of Mickey Mouse? Like, a crazy email to end up in my inbox. So crazy, in fact, I thought I possibly was being punked. I was not. It was real. And I was just so excited to have this crazy opportunity. I thought, like, why not? Like, why not try? I'd done acting in high school and was always kind of in the musical theater scene back then and did some singing and whatnot. But I never planned on being an actor or getting into Hollywood. But this opportunity was so random and so exciting. I had to try. And I submitted my audition, and I guess you could say the rest is history. It was kind of unfolded slowly, but also quickly. And before I knew it, it was, you know, I think, you know, June of 2009, and I was recording my very first projects, and then have been keeping very busy recording Mickey ever since.
Oh my God. I mean, that's first of all, like, it's crazy that you worked at Hallmark. So many people talk about, like, I want to make greeting cards for a living. And I've never heard of anyone who actually worked there until today.
Oh, yeah. And they should want to, because it's an amazing place and it was so fun. I loved it. It was kind of like grad school for me. It was great. I worked back then. I was part of an illustration studio where I think we had 80 something artists, and in all we did was work on art for greeting cards. And, and of course, like, different product and keepsake ornaments and all that stuff too. But I mean, it was kind of like, it was a dream come true. We had access to this supply library with all the art supplies you could ever need.
Whoa.
You're working on Christmas and Halloween. I mean, it's fun. It was so great. So,
wait, so was there a time in your life where you had to walk into someone's office and tell them that you're leaving your job because you're Mickey Mouse?
Yes. Yes, actually. Believe it or not. And ironically, I had just celebrated my 5th anniversary with Hallmark. And at Hallmark, anniversaries, birthdays, like... You talk about the freshman 15, right? Well, there was like a Hallmark 25. Like, once you started at Hallmark, you gained 25 pounds because every week there was some big party going on. And so I had hit my 5th anniversary. Oh my God. They threw me a party. I walked into the party and it was Mickey themed because they knew I was a huge Disney fan. And Hallmark was a Disney license, right? So all the plates, all the party wear was all Mickey themed. And I hadn't told anybody yet. So I remember thinking, oh, crap, like... this is weird, kind of awesome. And then I think it was like literally right after that, I went to my boss's office. And I was like, I need to talk to you. I have this really crazy but amazing opportunity. I may all leave to pursue it. And truth be told, I was kind of expecting like the moment where I was like, no, please don't leave. We can't lose you. And instead he was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, best of luck. And I was like...
I'm shocked that people believed you.
It is kind of crazy, right? Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like you're describing a movie to me, not your life.
Yes. It is. I hadn't thought about it that way, but it is really, it's such, I think because it was such a random, it was almost too crazy to be fake, right? Like, I would have been very clever to come up with that kind of, fraud. Yeah. I don't know what you want to call it. It was nutso. It was so random, but it was great. That they threw me a going away party and they all made Mickey ears, like their own version of Mickey ears. Yeah,
that's
it was fun.
Adorable.
It was pretty great. So I left my salaried career. I had bought a house when I was 25. I thought I was gonna be there forever. I left my salaried career, moved back home to LA, and I lived in my aunt and uncle's camping trailer. And I think I had $2,000 to my name. And I was going, what just happened? What did I do?
And you just dove in and have been doing the voice since then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and admittedly, at first, it was a bit rocky in terms of the workload, right? Like, I came in at a time when, unfortunately, Wayne had passed away. So the final casting happened after he passed away. And it was no longer an understudy position at that point. It was, we have these jobs that have kind of lined up. And Mickey's got to work. So I came in and And there was a lot of things at first, and kind of took care of those. And then at the time, there was no TV shows in production. You know, I did like Disney on Ice and a few parades, but the work kind of fizzled out for a long time. So it was a really interesting learning curve on my part to one, be thrown into the realm of voice acting in general and just try, you know, figuring that out. Two, this whole legacy of Mickey Mouse and making sure I was doing my part to honor that and preserve it. And, you know, people know what Mickey sounds like and you don't want to mess that up. And then three, just going from a full-time job to essentially being self-employed and waiting for the phone to ring was a little nerve-wracking, but things all panned out.
The true Hollywood experience.
The true Hollywood experience. I know, I feel like every Hollywood origin story needs living in a trailer that has a leaky roof, and that's what that's what happened to me.
Yeah, getting your big break and still being in the trailer. That's
exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drag you through every project you've done because there's so many over the past 15 and a half years. But if you can just kind of walk us through the parks specifically, like Disneyland Resort, Disney World, where could or would we have heard your voice throughout the parks?
Oh, gosh. I've lost track over the years. The easiest grabs are always, you know, the parades, especially now, like the holidays. If you go to Oogie Boogie Bash and get to see that Halloween parade, I remember doing that one. Fantasmic is a project that will always be near and dear to my heart, and I can talk about that experience forever. The castle shows at Magic Kingdom. One of my very first park things was the Adventurers Celebration at Animal Kingdom, which was a small cavalcade parade. I don't think they do that at the end of the day anymore. For the longest time, when you were on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority and you went past Star Traders, I had done a little Mickey thing there. So I'm trying to think where else. So many places that I tend to forget. If you ever got to see Mickey's Magic Words at Magic Kingdom, where you got to talk to Mickey and he talked back to you. That was a project I worked on for a very long time to get that into development. So, yeah.
Would you say Fantasmic is the one that's most special to you?
Definitely. Because Fantasmic is the show that, to me, was my favorite part of going to Disneyland. You know, I basically went to Disneyland just for the chance to watch Fantasmic at the end of the day. And it's also a big part of how I learned to do the voice, because I was so obsessed with it from the day it debuted that I, before they released the soundtrack, I was actually like taking different soundtracks and mixing my own Fantasmic show so that I could play at home. Like I would like set up my little Mickey figurines and like put on parades, and then we even got to a point where my brother and I would be outside like shooting hoses around, and you know, yeah, I was obsessed with it. So when the time came around to update the show and I got the recording request, you know, I had done Fantasmic projects before. I did, I'm trying to
all
think.
All at home with your brother or professionally?
Professionally. Both. Both, I guess. The correct answer is both.
Multifaceted.
Yeah. But no, professionally. So I had done, I think I did the original Tokyo version, which I don't know if they were always intending to have the English to influence the final Japanese version, or if along the way they decided to have Mickey speak Japanese. So, but I did record a version of that. I feel like I had done something else along the way, Fantasmic related. So I just kind of assumed that was the case with this recording session, right? And when I went into the studio, a lot of times I don't get the script ahead of time. And this was one of those cases. But when I went in and I saw the lines, I knew exactly what version it was. And I kind of was like, wait, why are we doing this? Like, is this necessary? And they explained that it was because they needed these isolated tracks. They were updating. They were doing all this stuff. So it was a really very surreal full circle moment for me, not only to record it, because, you know, I never got to work with Wayne, but everyone I do work with knew him well. Like they were all really close. It's a small little family, right? They're all friends. And so it was a little bit of an emotional recording session for the director and some people that were involved in that. for that reason, but also for me, again, it's like that full circle moment, and the respect I had for Wayne and have for Wayne is so tremendous that that definitely influenced the emotion behind it. But I'll tell you, there was nothing like getting to go to Disneyland for the first time, seeing the show and hearing my voice. To this day, I don't want to try and act all macho. I'll admit, to this day, if I'm watching it, not theme park shows in general, but specifically Fantasmic or any fireworks show that I've been a part of, just it like hits me at the core, and I will tear up. And when I say tear up, it's like I need to fight the ugly cry because I don't want to embarrass myself with those people I'm around. And so the first time I saw Fantasmic, I happened to be there with my brother who used to play with me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was not cool. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Did you ever think when we were kids that this?" And I just let it go.
It's so hard to even wrap my head around it, but you live it.
It's so surreal. It's so surreal. But those moments are one of the things that just make this job so special. It's getting to have my own personal connection, you know, to nostalgia or to my childhood or to the things that were so inspirational to me. But then it's also the realization on the flip side of that coin that there are kids, there are adults, there are other people who are equally as affected by the stuff I get to be a small part of. And, you know, knowing that a character like Mickey affects people the way he does, knowing that the experience of being at Disneyland affects people the way it does, like it's so special. And I've found myself having so many really special moments, getting to be a part of people's lives that I'll treasure forever. So
it's so fascinating because you're not just the voice of Mickey Mouse. You're also a very talented artist whose medium is also occasionally Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Like you're Mickeying on many ends.
I'm Mickeying on many ends. Yes. I've never heard it put that way, but I might use that from now on. Thank you.
For anyone listening who's not familiar with your art career, can you talk about just a summary of the various Disney illustrations and artwork that you've done? Because even in prepping for us talking, I didn't realize how many there were.
I'm trying to update my website currently, and I'm rediscovering files and folders where I'm like, oh, I forgot I did that. I've been so fortunate. You know, it's definitely come from the more people I've met on different projects voicing Mickey, and I've been able to share my artistic talents with them, then these opportunities have come about. But I did some stuff early on for Disney Parks Live Entertainment. And then I started doing some merchandise design for D23, the Disney fan club. And from there, you know, I got into Disney Fine Art, who's a publisher of Disney art. And so I had done some Mickey paintings with them. I started a national park poster series featuring Mickey going to different national parks, because as you can tell by the giant buffalo behind me, I am a huge, I just realized it's very prominent in the shot. I'm a huge national parks and outdoors fan. So kind of combining my two loves of Mickey National Parks was a really fun thing to do. And that just kind of opened the door from there to I've done a lot of stuff for Disney Vacation Club lately. I've started designing Disney Parks merchandise alongside Ashley Eckstein, who is, as we all know, a pro at that. And I'd say most recently, the Disney and Mickey art project that I'm the most proud of was I was asked to do Mickey's official 95th anniversary portrait a couple years ago. And, you know, only the eighth official portrait of Mickey to ever be commissioned by the archives and the studio. And, I already get to play
crazy.
Art.
It's crazy. Like, that's straight crazy. Up history.
Yeah, that you know, I think the book's upstairs, but I would pull out that, again, going back to nostalgia in my childhood, I have this Mickey anniversary book from his 50th anniversary, and the back cover of it is the original, the very first Mickey portrait done by John Hench in 1953, where Mickey's kind of leaning on the bookcase. And then in the rest of the book, you can see all the other portraits. And I'm telling you, I was obsessed with that. Like, I would look at those portraits and I would draw from those portraits all the time. And I remember thinking, like, I hope I am as good as these artists someday. Never thinking I'd get the chance to do this portrait. So when they offered me the opportunity, of course, I said yes. And I was so excited. And then I started painting and I got freaked out.
Of course.
I started thinking about those memories and I thought, oh my gosh, somebody might be looking at this and might be inspired to paint or might be inspired to get into a creative field. Like, I think with those moments, and I'm not trying to elevate the stuff I do as like, oh, look,
Okay. Well, then I will, because you painted the freaking birthday portrait. That's as big as it gets. That's the ceiling.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, in you know, something funny comes from those opportunities, and I've been sharing this a lot lately at different talks that I give. I'm very motivated by goals, right? And like and dreams of I want to build this someday, or I want to do this someday. And I feel like a lot of people talk about achieving your dreams, but what they don't talk about is what happens after you achieve your dreams. Because if painting Mickey's official portrait was a goal of mine, okay, I did it. But I can't just stop painting all of a sudden. Like, I need to come up with a new goal. I need to find the next creative endeavor that's going to inspire me. So I've been sharing lately, like, pursue your dreams, but don't be afraid and be prepared to come up with a new dream, because, you know, that's what keeps you going. So
yeah, they really don't prepare you for that.
They don't. And no. I'm hoping that, I mean, I have a lot of other goals, career goals and personal goals. And I'm hoping that was, you know, that was the pinnacle 2 years ago, but hopefully we'll just keep achieving some other really great fun things.
It really feels like your life, your childhood was as though you played the game Jumanji, but everything went correctly. Like, you just started doodling Mickey Mouse one day and now you're like professionally illustrating Mickey Mouse. And also you're the voice of Mickey Mouse. Like, anything you did in your childhood came true.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. And I do spend a lot of time thinking about that. Turning 40, I had a whole existential crisis. Like, what is life? What is this existence? What is going on? And a big part of that was the acknowledgement that I have had a very privileged, lucky existence and amazing opportunities and experiences. You know, I always consider myself so shy and kind of just, you know, I was the kid who would turn red if your name got called for role. Like, Brett, here, like, beat red. So I'm living a very different version of myself than I expected, I think. But those closest to me, when I do have those moments of like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky, like, this isn't fair, they have to remind me that I did, and it did require a lot of work to,
yes,
to get this. It didn't just happen. But I guess when you're having fun doing it, it does. And I hope, I would wish that for everybody. Like, when you're doing something you truly love and you're having fun doing it, I think it should just feel like, oh my gosh, it's just, yeah, of course this was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm very fortunate to be having those experiences that feel that way.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with the perfect gift from Uncommon Goods. Because here, shopping for your loved ones is also fun for you. Really, what's better than turning a chore into a privilege? And no store is more fun to browse, explore, and shop on than UncommonGoods.com. I went to Uncommon Goods looking around for a little gift for Pearl, and boy did I find it. This precious animal matching memory card game that is extremely unique. But I don't know what happened while I was there. My hand just led me to the food section, and I also came home with a homemade pretzel and beer cheese kit. Allowing me to get my necessary shopping done and also find a little something for me and my husband, because he's about to eat some warm cinnamon sugar dusted fresh homemade pretzels? See, with Uncommon Goods, everybody wins this holiday season. And that's what they're all about. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest find for the trickiest person on your shopping list, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Shopping with Uncommon Goods is less stress and more fun. It's how holiday shopping should be. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere, and I recommend them as your first and honestly probably last stop this shopping season. To get 15% off your next gift, that is such a good discount. Oh my gosh, I'm definitely going to have to use it again on myself. Go to uncommongoods.com/amusing. That's uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off. And Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Let's talk HelloFresh. Now, if you've never considered yourself a meal kit person, I'm going to paint you a picture. Like so many of you, I'm busy, I'm a little disorganized, and I may or may not be eating handfuls of crackers as a meal. But imagine a box shows up on your doorstep like it did for me last week with everything you need to make fresh, healthy meals for you and your household. No running out because you forgot a lemon or don't have garlic. No, it's all right there. Everything you need and nothing more. Easy, customizable recipes mean each meal is just the way you like it. There are always options available to trade or upgrade proteins or swap out side dishes. And whether you're craving hearty comfort food, trying to please picky eaters, young or old, or looking for a specific kind of meal plan, HelloFresh has all those options and more available on a rotating menu of 50 recipes to choose from each and every week. By the way, my favorite meal this week was chicken thyme with zucchini couscous. So fresh, so good, and much better than the slop I'm putting together with whatever's left in the fridge. Because sometimes you run out of produce and it takes you a long, long time to get it. But now with HelloFresh, magically appears on your doorstep. HelloFresh is truly out here saving me and guaranteeing that I get nutrients in my body. They do the recipe planning, the grocery shopping, and so much of the prep work. It's heaven! And now it's even better because you can get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. Applied across 7 boxes, new subscribers only, and varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/freeamusing. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You don't just do Disney stuff. You don't just do Mickey Mouse. You also have, I don't even know how to explain your prowess in interior and residential design. Like, I don't even know where to begin with the skill set you have to turn a backyard into something that seems like it would only appear in the last 3 minutes of a home makeover show.
Yeah, it's the grand reveal. Well, I like to see my style is very grand reveal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it's not Disney. I do work outside of Disney, but I really do credit Disney with so much of the inspiration for everything I do, because one thing I love about design in general, whether it's for the mouse or not, is storytelling in it through design. And that comes into play with the residential design company that I have. You know, we consult on whether it be a renovation of a older historic home, you know, trying to capture and revitalize those elements from the past and modernizing them a bit to play into the way we live today. Designing a restaurant that's got a themed environment to it.
You've designed restaurants?
Yeah.
Can we know about them? Are we allowed to talk about this?
I mean, absolutely. There was a really cool, this is sad, I don't think it's around anymore because unfortunately the pandemic didn't play fair with it. But there was a really great place called the Hanger Burger Bar in Fresno, California. And I hope some of your listeners got to go experience it. It was great. It was a aviation themed burger bar. I got to consult on a little bit of the aesthetic design of the exterior. And then the interior was super well themed. There's another place up in Pismo Beach. It's up in Pismo Beach. There's another little kind of beachside cafe there. It was a really cool project because it was the oldest motel in Pismo Beach. Mm. And the owner bought it and decided to turn it into a restaurant. So it was a really unique project. But again, it's about storytelling to me, whether it's revitalizing the past or bringing a new story into it. So I really enjoy that. And my husband, thankfully, is a production designer. And so, you know, I kind of have the best partner in that design business where he brings a whole other skill set that I didn't have before. So, wow. Yeah, it's a fun little endeavor.
I am going to need you to tell my listeners about your backyard.
Oh, okay.
This is not a long con to get you to talk about your beautiful house, but I do need them to know how fantastic it is.
so the backyard, again, I mentioned the national park fascination and, my house is a 1913 Craftsman bungalow. So, I've had it for 13 years now and, been updating it ever since I bought it. And in doing so, the Craftsman architecture just lends itself kind of to that 1940s, 30s National Park aesthetic. And so the backyard is no exception. When I bought it, there was an orange tree and a lemon tree, but now I'm surrounded by a forest of evergreens. I had to made a patio dedicated to my fire pit, a great lawn for the dogs. We have two dogs, so the dogs love playing frisbee out there. I've got a little water feature with a water tower that I built that goes into a little stream, and it's lent itself to some amazing Christmas parties that we love hosting. And every year we have a different Christmas party. We'd always have a new theme, and I loved the themes because they were an excuse for me to build props. And so the backyard is littered with props from previous Christmas parties. One of my favorites is a National Park style sign that says S'mores Park Recreation Area. And that's just permanently planted by the fire pit. So I love all those. I've got little Coleman lanterns, vintage Coleman lanterns hanging from lampposts throughout.
I got to say, I really appreciate you not ratting me out on mic about eating all the marshmallows.
Well, there's a reason we haven't had the Christmas party for a few years now.
Your mom was like, I can't keep up.
My poor mom, who people rave about her marshmallows, she just couldn't keep up because Carly would leave with, bags.
They'd be in my body because I ate all of them.
and my mom knows that you love them so much that if we're not having it, and our Christmas party has admittedly become a little bit like 1 year we'll have it,
yeah.
2 years, yep. Anyway, everyone's always asking, and my mom's always asking because she wants to make marshmallows, and she'll always say, well, I know Carly likes them, so maybe I just need to get her address and send them.
You don't understand. The last time I went to your party, I was secretly pregnant. I mean, I was wearing an outfit where, if you looked at me from the side, it was very clear. I had the body of the Grinch. It was very obvious. But I ate so many of your mom's marshmallows that I went home, and I think the next day I had to call my doctor to make sure it was okay.
So I've just consumed 5 pounds of gelatin and sugar. Is that okay?
I was like, oh no, what have I done?
Well, it would have been a problem if you had birthed those little marshmallow men from Ghostbusters. Yes. Then we'd know that it didn't work out well. But I think you're okay.
Thankfully, she came out fine, just with an affinity for sweets, I suppose.
Maybe that's where she gets it.
Oh, God. Okay, I do have a question that I think you are the only person on earth who can accurately answer this.
Okay.
Okay, so someone listening to this, someone who regularly goes to a theme park, doesn't really plan any national park vacations. Where do you recommend they should go? Like, if you know someone who's interested in storytelling, interested in the level of design of a theme park, which national park do you think they should seek out?
You know, I've been to so many. I haven't been to all of them, I'll admit that. But I think Yosemite is probably the best. If you were like starting out, Yosemite is, it's like being on the Disneyland Railroad and leaving the Tomorrowland Station and going into the tunnel and going into the Grand Canyon Diorama, right? Like, it, you get that story moment. You're driving to Yosemite and you go through this tunnel. It's called Tunnel View. And the highway takes you down to the valley and it opens up into this breathtaking, cinematic view of the valley that truly the first time I saw it, it like I understood when people say it takes your breath away. Like I just did not know what to do. And to this day, I always like hesitate to say what my favorite park is because I feel like you need to see all of the national parks before you have a favorite. But as incredible as every other national park I've been to has been, Yosemite just has my heart. Has my soul. I don't know why. I got married there. Yeah, for a theme park fan, going into the national park world, it's great because it's accessible. You can drive through it. They've got a lot of great little lodges in the valley to stay at, or you can totally rough it and camp if you want. But yeah, I think, you know, and the Aulani Lodge in Yosemite, non-Disney related, but was... inspiration for the Shining Hotel. So that's like a really interesting tour to take. You go through and you see a lot of these design elements that are definitely, you're like, oh, this feels like the Shining.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say Yosemite is a good launching place. Oh, we're okay, really that, completely flower.
Like I thought you were the absolute perfect person to answer that question because you knew. You had the scenes matched. You knew it.
I got it. I'm trying to think. We just came back from Yellowstone, and that's a little bit more. That's a little less accessible in terms of like, you know, it requires planning to get up there. But that is a great. If you're the type of person who wants to go to a national park and just drive, that is it. Because Yellowstone is basically a big circle. It's like a figure eight, but you can just kind of do this grand circle tour, as it were. In your car.
Put it in terms I know.
Yeah, and you're going to get, like for those theme park fans who know their history, you know, Nature's Wonderland, the little mine train that used to run through Frontierland, had like the geysers and the bubbling pots. It's very Big Thunder Mountain in terms of that, right? Like Yellowstone has these natural steam vents and geysers and mud pots. It's funny because when we were just there, my husband and I were commenting on, we're like, it's really crazy when you go to these places and you see the inspiration they were for Disney parks, right? And you realize what a treasure Disney parks are to people who can't necessarily get out and see these things in real life. You know, they make them a little bit more accessible, right? Or maybe the Disney parks work in the opposite way where they inspire you then. You love Big Thunder Mountain so much, or you love Wilderness Lodge, that you go, I want to go see these places that they were inspired by. And so it kind of, you know, works hand in hand. But it's really cool when you get to see like the real version versus the inspired version. It's fun.
Before we wrap up, we got to talk trains because you're also like low-key a train expert.
Expert. I mean, I hate to say I'm an expert of anything, but yes.
Do you know different types of trains? Because to me, they're trains. So if you know different types, you're an expert.
I know different types and I know how to operate them. So,
oh my God. See?
How do I get into this? I love trains. I love trains. It's, again, I feel like everything, all of my stories revert back to some nostalgic, you know, core memory, but trains are no exception. My dad was a model railroader. So I grew up like being surrounded by toy trains everywhere. They ran on the ceiling of our house. You know,
you had a ceiling train in your house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Doesn't everybody? I thought that was a normal thing. That
I've always dreamed of it, but I didn't know people really did it.
Oh, yes. Okay. So tangent. What's weird is that, going back to the weird Mickeyness of everything. So I can't tell you how many episodes of whatever Mickey show I'm working on I've gone into. And I'm like, no joke, you guys are like trolling me, right? Like in this episode, Mickey and the gang go to the Western town and the wagons broke down and they have to restore the wagon in order to complete this mission. Meanwhile, I just got a 1903 farm wagon and restored it. And I'm like, you guys are—
Stop it.
Right? They're like, oh no, we didn't know that. Or no joke, there was another episode where Mickey and the gang find a train in a field and have to restore it in order to bring it to the park for everyone to enjoy or something. And I was just in the process of acquiring the steam locomotive that I've since been working on restoring and getting up and running. So there are all these. And Mickey, if you go, if you watch, I think it's, I want to say it's Mickey's Mixed Up Adventures, or maybe on YouTube, you'll find like a, they've done some like a little short interstitials with Mickey. And one was Mickey's birthday. And he's got a train that runs around the ceiling and like through the walls of his house.
No. The day that you walk in and Mickey accepts a job at a greeting card place, that's when we know we need to just step away.
Then we know it's all a simulation.
Yes.
It's all fake. It's all fake. Anyway, trains, grew up with them. Like I said, my dad, you know, was kind of, my dad introduced me to them. My parents introduced me to everything. It's like my dad introduced me to my love of different types of music and trains. And creativity. And my mom, in her own way, was always very crafty and doing interior design and, you know, sewing and making costumes and all that stuff. So I'm very lucky that I have encouraging parents in the creative field. But all of our family vacations usually centered around trains. We would take trips to Colorado or to Washington State or Oregon or whatever, because we'd go visit a train and then we'd do other stuff. You know, it's kind of always been in my life. And when I got older and bought my house, I thought, oh, it'd be really cool. Like, I really want to have a train. You know, Walt had trains. Like, it'd be so cool to have a train. So I put a little garden train that went around the yard. And then I kind of got bored with that. And I thought, I really would love to operate real trains. So I reached out to some different train groups. And there's one up in the Fresno area. They're like, come on up, we can teach you some stuff. And I thought that I was going to be able to like volunteer on that railroad. Turned out it was too far for me to do that consistently. So I got a job at Knott's Berry Farm. And for about a year and a half, I worked on the trains at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was Knott's only and biggest hidden Mickey.
Oh my God. What is your life?
Thank you. Yeah. So I did that for a year and a half. I thought I was going to be doing like this weekend gig, like, oh, just for fun. No, it was like a 40-hour work week. And then somehow I would leave Knott's and drive up to Burbank in time to record an episode. So I came to my senses and things got a little too busy and I had to kind of drop that. But as I mentioned, I'm very fortunate that my family and I have a steam locomotive that was gifted to us by another family who has a history of trains. And we're kind of doing our part to restore the equipment and in the hopes of kind of honoring their family legacy and sharing their dad who built it, sharing his story and his passion. Because, you know, one, it's fun. I get to play with trains. But two, I've discovered I'm really passionate about sharing other people's creative journeys and other people's stories. And I think we all have a story to share. And sometimes we're not all in the position to get the limelight and, you know, to be able to share it. So this gentleman is one of those people where he was a huge inspiration to me as a kid because I got to ride his train when I was a little kid. And after he passed away, the family didn't really know what to do with it. And it kind of went into this limbo state for a while. And you got kind of handed off once or twice. And so anyway, now we have it and we're restoring it and, you know, hopefully the more we do with it, the more I'll be able to share with people and kind of tell his story. So
God, that's fascinating.
Trains. I love them.
Oh man. All I want is just a little one up there. Just a little one.
That we can make happen and we can make it deliver marshmallows for you.
I would, but you don't understand. I would be malnourished. I can't do that.
I mean, well, We'll work on, like, we'll space out the delivery of the marshmallows so it's, you know, once every few months or something.
Okay, perfect.
It's holiday
okay, perfect.
Time. Yeah, there's ways.
They're dangerous. They can't get their clothes.
Yeah, they're very dangerous.
We are going to do our lightning lane round of questions.
Woohoo!
But they're free here.
Oh, okay.
What is your favorite Epcot pavilion?
Mexico.
Any, I agree. What is your reasoning?
La Cava del Tequila. I'm going to say that terribly. But I love the everyone who works there. I've gotten to know the team over the years who's behind it. I think it's just such a, like, treasure, this little small tequila bar tucked in. I love the ambiance of the Mexico Pavilion in general. And I did just get to do, and this is not why I chose them, but I did just get to do a poster for them because they're celebrating their 15th anniversary at Epcot. And so I did a whole sunscreen poster for them. So,
wow, that's so fun.
Yeah.
They pay you in guacamole and chips? Because that is what I would accept.
That is absolutely what the compensation was.
They would lose money if they did.
I mean, they probably have and will continue to lose money off of this deal because I expect it every time I go back.
I love it there. Fantastic. Space Mountain, Disneyland or Disney World?
I used to always say Disneyland, but something switched to now I'm saying Disney World.
And Yeah.
I mean, it's the original, right? So,
well, people get pretty salty about it because I'm Space Mountain Disney World.
Okay.
And people are like, but the soundtrack. But I think it's the two versus the one. The one seater.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Granted, does it remind me of my aging body every time I have to crouch down in there and get out? Yes, getting out a little slower year after year. But it's
fine. Truth be told, when I was 19, I still had difficulty getting out of that attraction every time, right? Like, and the anxiety that would come the minute you pull into that carpeted exit.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, God, I gotta go fast. They're gonna, like, I don't know what's gonna happen if you don't get out fast enough, but
I'm so stressed getting out of a ride vehicle. I don't know why.
Probably because you're a good person and you're too considerate. That's what it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I know that people are waiting. I don't want to slow them down.
Yes.
I don't want to hold up the whole Omni Mover on Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. I say that because that's where it stems for me as well.
Yeah. kind anxiety, yes.
Overly aware of other people.
Yeah.
And overly self-aware as well. So
exactly.
Bad combo.
You get it.
I get it.
If you're allowed to talk about it, what is the most secret space within a Disney park that you've been to?
Ooh, the most secret space. Oh my gosh. I've gotten to go backstage in so many amazing places. I mean, going to Walt's apartment is so special, but I know plenty of people have gotten to do that. They've had tours and stuff. But I'll say this, I got to celebrate my 40th birthday in Walt's apartment.
No way.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
That
was pretty special.
Did you sit on furniture?
No. Okay. I mean, I sat on the patio furniture. Does that count?
But you got to have a little celebration?
Yeah. We had cake out on the patio. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, that was really fun. I feel like that's not so top secret, though. I did do a pre-opening walkthrough of the Haunted Mansion, which was really cool.
Ooh.
Nobody there. And no sound effects. Nothing was playing. And that was super creepy. Believe it or not, more creepy to have things just going...
Oh my God. Oh, things were moving.
Things were moving and no sound. And yeah, very, very odd. But I geek out over that stuff. Like, anytime I get to be a part of a project, like being on Main Street before the park opens, you know, like, oh, we're doing a film shoot and you have to call times 4 a.m. on the hub. I'm like, oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
Darn it. Like, yeah. Oh, can I sleep there? Like, do I need to leave?
Yes.
I'll bring my sleeping bag. You see me, it's just like camping. I'll be out there with my eggs in the morning,
yep.
My little pot of coffee. Good morning, everyone. Climbing out of the bushes. That's me.
I don't think anyone would be bothered. They'd be like, oh, yeah, it's just Brett.
Oh, Brett's there again.
Yeah.
Good morning.
He just really seems to think he belongs here.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite obscure Disney character?
I love Humphrey the Bear. Is he obscure enough? I think so. Okay. I feel like he's gained a little bit of popularity, but I love Humphrey the Bear and those Ranger cartoons from back in the day. Like, he's just kind of a bumbling moron, but he's fun. I mean, I'm definitely picking up on the theme here, national park, bears, ranger. But yeah.
That's a perfect fit for you.
Okay, yeah. It's on brand.
I get it. Final question for you.
Yay.
Don't sound so excited.
I know. I don't know why I'm so excited. I could do this all day.
Is there anything in a Disney park you haven't done and want to do?
I have never stayed in either the Dream Suite, which I know is now the 23 Royal, or Cinderella's Castle. I think it'd be cool to stay in a park overnight.
And I feel like if anyone can make it inside Cinderella Castle, it's you.
You'd be surprised.
Because I know it's tight. I know it's usually like a PR invite to like a noteworthy person, or it's a contest winner.
Yeah.
But I feel like you are the voice of Mickey Mouse.
I would hope that maybe someday I'll get that opportunity. The sad thing is one of my best friends has done it. And so it's a little
didn't invite you?
Well, it was before we were friends, so I can't blame her for it completely. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if she, Ashley Eckstein, has gotten to do it, should not Brett Iwan?
I would say that you deserve a bed, not a pullout couch.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't know that there was a either or.
There's like two beds, and then it's like, oh, you have another. Oh, I think there's like the pullout couch.
I mean, okay. I would stay in the giant soaking tub. Are you kidding me? Give me a blanket.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. The problem with that experience, I've always thought, is you wouldn't want to sleep, right? Like, if you're only in it for whatever it is, 8 hours, 12 hours, like, why would you spend the whole time sleeping?
You can't.
No. You need to have a party, or I don't know what. But
I don't know. You just gotta just soak it up while you can.
Yeah.
You know what? The constant in your life is that if you want something, it happens.
Yeah, I'm putting it onto the universe. Is that what they do? Isn't that the secret? You just got to will it to happen.
I believe in you. I feel like by the year's end, you're going to make it.
By the year's end? Oh, gosh. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But no, by the year's end, there's no way. We're down to the last couple months, Carly. I don't have any...
I just believe in the power of you getting things done.
All right. We'll have a follow-up interview if that does happen, because then that, again, proof it's all a simulation.
Absolutely. If I open my phone one day and it's just a text of you in the suite.
That's all. It'll be me in a bathrobe in the tub.
But I'll know from the tile work.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, Brett, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, you're so welcome. This was so much fun.
I had such a joy, and I'm sorry it took so long. I'll just abuse our friendship more in the future.
Please do, anytime.
I mean, yeah, I definitely want like a 4-part, 6-hour podcast series about trains.
Be careful what you ask for. I may already have it written. I could just like, hold on, let me just pull that up.
Yeah, it's a deck ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. This has been a blast.
We are just a few weeks away from the end of the year, which means now is the time to start thinking about your 2025 travel. It is right around the corner, and there's no one better to help book your trip with ease than my friends over at MEI Travel. Because when you work with one of their travel experts, they will help make sure that you get the most out of your trip, ensuring you do more and save more money. They'll help you get those $50 kids tickets at Disneyland, maximize hotel discounts at Disneyland and Disney World, and oh yeah, they'll even help you plan for a little thing called Epic Universe, a brand new theme park filled with rides and shows and entertainment and never-before-seen everything, which opens in May. And best of all, they're going to do all of that for free. Yes, for free. MEI Travel is even so full of travel planning pros that they operate specialty divisions, the Disney earmarked and very official Mouse Fan Travel and Universal Fan Travel, both full of helpful vacation planners who know everything about visiting these parks. So don't delay. If you want to start taking a look at your next Disney or Universal vacation, save money, and work with an expert travel agent who will help you plan when to go, where to stay, and what to do in 2025 without costing you a penny, reach out now. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing for all your Disney needs. Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, and of course, getting those sweet deals on Disney trips, like saving up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on nights through April at Walt Disney World. And if it's an epic universe vacation you're after, head to universalfantravel.com/amusing to get a free quote about visiting the biggest new theme park to land in Orlando in 25 years. 25 years! This is historic! You gotta be there! And Universal Fan Travel can make it happen. Once again, that's mousefantravel.com/amusing for all of your Disney needs and universalfantravel.com/amusing to get bragging rights that you made it to Epic Universe and its opening season. Happy planning!
Hi, Carly. This is Casey from Kentucky. In a couple of episodes recently, we've talked about like the distinct smells of different resorts. And then this most recent episode was about bringing the parks to your home. So I wanted to share a company that my family loves. It's called Magic Candle Company. And if you go to that website, you'll see that they have candles that match the scents of lots of the resorts. And they also have one that's like pineapple whip and flying over the orange groves. So that's a fun way to bring the parks into your house. All right. Thanks for everything you do. Bye.
Hi, it's so funny that you said this because after I mentioned that on an episode, my mom, of course, you know my mom sent me something from Magic Candle Company. She sent in the mail and was like, something arrived. And it was the Floridian scent, which is like, she sent me not a candle, but the room spray, like the aroma spray that you spray around your house. It smells pretty great. I've only used it a couple times just because the seasons are changing right now and my allergies are absolutely bananas, but it smells great. I'm on the website right now though, which I gotta talk about. They have a wilderness resort one. They have contemporary. I feel like I don't have contemporary. The scent to me is more just like gears, like an old monorail scent to me for the contemporary. But I'm pretty into that. They have beach resort. Okay. Rome burning. Fantastic. We all know from Spaceship Earth. Oh, Splash, I guess like Splash Mountain. But also like some of these are cool. Some of them like Pirate Life. I hope it has a little burn in there. You know what I mean? A little burn in the back. But they do. They have Pineapple Whip. They have all these scents if anybody wants to bring scents into their home. I've been enjoying the Floridian. Though I do wish I was responsible enough to just buy enough flowers. Buy enough flowers at my house really smell like that lobby. But you know, until then, I got the spray. Thank you, Mom. And thank you for calling. Thank you all so much for listening, and a very special thank you to Brett Iwin for coming on the podcast. You can keep up with everything Brett's doing, art, design, Mickey Mouse stuff, on his Instagram at Brett_Iwin. That is Brett_IWAN. I'll put it in the show notes. Definitely check his stuff out. He's always posting, like, just, you know, casually, like, oh, him doing an interactive exhibit that Bob Iger is enjoying. Like, oh, him just painting something absolutely stunning. Definitely give him a follow. He's a really good Instagram follow. I would definitely say that about him. A really good Instagram follow. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Spotify now has this commenting thing. I finally figured out where it is. If you go into the actual episode page, you can leave a little comment. Leave a little love note, like a little elementary school Valentine, just like, hey, what's up? I love it. Or like, oh, that thing Brett said was very LOL. You could just put that right there, and I'll see it, and it'll be really nice. It's like a little message board for each episode. You also, I appreciate anyone who rates our podcast. It really does a lot to have new people find it. And anyone who's done it in the past, thank you. Because I know so many of you have. And I appreciate it. And I love you. You can give us a call at 747-CHURS if you need anything from me. You want a question answered? You want me to just hear you out? You want to rant about, I don't know, Jollywood nights or sort of vacation you want to take next year, but you have a problem with it? Just let me know. Call me. Anything. Problems. questions, concerns, thoughts, opinions, randings, all of it. I will take it. You can send it as a voice note to 747churros. You can call 747churros and you can email it to 747churros@gmail.com. You can also pick up some pretty cool, very amusing swag, if I may say, at very-amusing.com. And you can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the family at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And if you've got 99 cents a month, you just, you know, you put your hand in your pocket, you pull out a dollar bill and you're like, wow, this could buy me something and I'd have a penny left over. That would be my Instagram subscription. Again, 99 cents a month. Just a little treat. We're having a little party over there. It's a separate little party. The main party's still great, but I guess it's kind of like the VIP room, which is also great. We're having a good time. If you want to join, 99 cents a month. That's all. I feel like I'm advertising a loss leader to get you in the door at Walmart on Black Friday. But either way, 99 cents a month. Come hang out or don't. It's totally fine. Either works. I appreciate it if you want to come. It's all good. It's really fun. I enjoy it. And that's about all. This episode was edited animatedly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. What a delicious episode that was. Okay, you are so funny. You took your entire family to go trick-or-treating so you can get free candy. She was a prop. Girl was a prop. So funny. Okay, so please don't ever, ever grow up because you're so much fun. All the food that I'm talking about here is actually from Disney World, not from Disneyland, because I don't go there enough. So I don't even know some of the stuff, which that means I'm going to have to go there a little bit more. All right, popcorn talk. I always talk about the one stand by the showcase that I love popcorn, but I totally agree with you that if they're down to the bottom, I'm not buying that popcorn. I want it hot and fresh, so I will ask them when they're making it, and I'll come back in 10, 15 minutes when it's brand new again, and it is absolutely delicious. I love the turkey drumsticks as well, but it's a little weird walking around the parks eating them. Of course, I do it, but it looks a little strange on me, I guess. Grandma with her big turkey drumstick. It's a riot. The round half chips that are fried are called cottage fries, and they are really, really good. What else do you... Oh, the fried pickle. I've never even heard of anything like that before. It sounds great, but what really sounds intriguing to me is the marshmallow wand, and that you said it had, like, caramel in there and chocolate layers, and, oh, it sounds good. Great week, honey, but I flew home tonight, and I just got in, so I was listening to Very Amusing at midnight, but I have to tell you, the way you would describe these snacks and treats are so delicious that I am starving. I'm going to have to go raid the refrigerator with something sweet. That just sounded so good. The Powerade slushies, I asked at the counter, and they said the Powerade slushies come right from the company Powerade, and it's the same thing, she said, and you said you don't believe it. So somebody will find out. You've been posting so much on your... Subscribe to your Instagram 99 cent page every month. It is so good. I get to see you all day long. I get to see the baby all day long. It's wonderful. And honey, you love your snacks. Crack me up. You're very, very cute and you're very, very special. And I love you very much. And I love you, Pearl. Love you. Bye.